Well, the second hour of Inland Folk is a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University. We've been playing a lot of these Stray Bird, Mandolin Orange. These are all these new groups that are doing their take on folk music and keeping the roots and still doing it. And they're so good. And there's so much material out by some of these folks. And then there's so many groups that are doing this kind of material, it's hard to keep track anymore. It's a lot different than it was when we started this show X amount of years back. You know, or there are X amount of record labels, and you could really sort of kind of figure it all out pretty quickly. But now there's just billions and billions of CDs, billions and billions of CDs out there. And if there aren't CDs, they're a bunch of downloads. So there's tons and tons of music. That's the cool thing about the technology. The not so cool thing about the technology is the regulations on it, which is why we can't air what we would like to air. Anyways, so this is Stray Bird, and I just wanted to play this. We played this a couple weeks back, and I want to play it again. We may have even played it last week. I can't remember. But we play this again because we played Doc and Jack Lawrence's version to Make Me a Pallet on Your Floor. So we might as well play Stray Bird's version again. Here we go.
Sleeping my back and shoulders tired. The way I've been sleeping my back and shoulders tired. Oh, the way I've been sleeping my back and shoulders tired. I'm gonna roll right over and sleep on the other side. Make me down a pallet on your floor. Make me down a pallet on your floor. Make me down a pallet soft and low. When I got nowhere to go. I've been traveling north where there's cold sleet and snow. I've been way up north, there's cold sleet and snow. I've been way there's cold sleet and snow, and there ain't nobody gonna tell me where to go. Make me down a pallet on your floor. Make me down a pallet on your floor. Make me down a pallet soft and low, so I can sleep when I got nowhere to go. They're everywhere I look. The weary blues, they're everywhere I see. Them weary blues, they're taking over me. And no one's had the blues I need. So make me down a pallet on your floor. Make me down a pallet on your floor. Make me down a pallet soft and low. So I can sleep when I got.
one morning after drinking, heavy in the night. Every inch of my poor bones seemed to ache and moan and wait. 'Cause all my troubles come tomorrow will be gone, and then it's on to Christmas Day. Jesus had been born just 11 days before. Would the world have stopped to see at least those on the street headed for a new town? And of all those on their way, could the miracle have made one lay his guns down? That trigger stole his mind. How am I to blame? I bet you never even aimed at one. There's too many people killing people to put an end. What can be done? Well, for now, who'd like to tell me on that morning when 27 fell, how any lesson and count could ever, ever watching them fall, and why, worst of all, come Christmas morning, they'll still be gone. One morning after drinking, heavy in the night, I stopped to take a look at the crook that stole this holiday. Well, this Christmas, my only put these guns away.
Thank you. drum lays a body in the sun, imagines what she could have done, imagines what she could have done. As the shadows break the land, takes a brush of hay to her hand, paints a window in the sand, and gazes on the promised land. She gazes on the promised land. Feathers and bone to free her. She got feathers and bone to leave her. She got feathers and bone to lead her out of the desert into the night. With the
thank you.
night comes to an end. A fading heart for every star. One by one is overcome by the pale blue light. Tight tonight, my darling, out of the dark, dark night, home to see such jubilee of which there is no light.
One of my favorite stories has to do with a fellow named Jim Bridger. There are a lot of great tall tales about Bridger. He was one of the early members of the Ashley Expedition that left St. Louis in 1822, going up the Missouri River after furs, hunting furs. And later on in life, he discovered he was the first white man into the Great Salt Lake area, first one to see the Great Salt Lake and tell people about it. And later on, he was a guide for the U.S. Army. And the new recruits kind of made fun of Jim. They saw him as a rustic old has-been, and they made fun of him a lot. So when Jim would tell them about things he had seen, like a glass mountain, they would make fun of it and kind of put him down, and so Jim would expand on these stories. He became known as one of the great tall tale tellers. If you've ever been to Yellowstone, you know that out there in Yellowstone is an entire cliff of obsidian, volcanic glass, and so there is a glass mountain. But these guys said, "Glass mountain, how'd you find it? If you can't, glass mountain, you couldn't see, could you?" And Jim would say, "Well, I'd look around the base where the birds had run headlong into it and killed themselves. And then I'd feel for it. And there it would be, sure enough. Of course, you couldn't see it, but the dead birds would give it away." And Bridger told a story about taking a wagon train across the plains, and they were camped opposite a box canyon. His alarm clock story was a famous one, told all around the West. They camped opposite this box canyon, and about 8 o'clock at night, when the sun was going down, he'd walk out from the wagon train and yell, "Time to get up!" 8 hours later, the echo would come back and wake everybody. Tall tales were a way of dealing with hard times, and if you could laugh at nature, it helped a lot. My favorite story about Jim Bridger had to do with the winter of 1830 in the valley of the Great Salt Lake. And 1,000 feet of snow fell that winter. Trouble was, it all fell in one day. Jim was sound asleep in his cabin, and when he woke up, there was no sign of light in the cabin. The snow was way over the roof, of course, 1,000 feet of snow. So he went back to sleep. He slept for about a week and a half, and finally he woke up and said, "You know, I think I've had enough rest. I think I better check things out." He got up and tried to push the door open. The door wouldn't open. He ate up what food he had in the next few days, and he burned up all the wood he had, burned up all the furniture. He was putting the last table leg on the fire, and realizing he was in quite a predicament, he happened to glance up the chimney as he placed that piece of wood on the fire, and there was way up there, shining like a single star in a coal bin at midnight. There was a dot of light, and he was seeing daylight. He had melted a tunnel right up through that snow, and he was seeing daylight up way above the snowfall. "Well," he said, "I better get my axe and cut some handholds." And he cut these handholds and climbed and climbed and climbed and finally got up on top. His idea was to cut down a tree and chop it into smaller pieces and drop it down there to have firewood, keep himself warm. He hadn't thought about the fact that most of the trees would be under the snow, too. Now, he got up there, and there was no sign of any trees, except for one lonesome pine way up on the left ridge up there, and he trudged up to it, cut it down, let it slide down into his valley where he was going to chop it into smaller pieces. Trouble was, it didn't stop. It went right up the other side, teetered up there, and then shot back down, slid up to where he'd cut it up there. And he stood there for 3 hours watching that tree go back and forth, back and forth. Finally got fed up. He said, I'm exhausted. I'm tired again. I'm going to go. He went right back down into his cabin, got under a bearskin rug, and fell asleep, listening to that tree tearing overhead, counting the passes. Sounded like a freight train tearing over there. Well, he must have slept a good long time, or else it was a quick thaw, because when he woke up, there was daylight streaming in the windows. There were little puddles of melt water on the floor where some of the snow had melted. He could hear the birds chirping outside. He said, well, I better go out and check to see what this great snowfall has done to the countryside and the subsequent thaw also. And he pushed the door open, walked out into his dooryard, and almost fell into a chasm as deep as the Royal Gorge. It hadn't been there before. Well, said Jim, I better climb down there and explore it, and climb to the bottom of that chasm, and found some drowned rapids from the meltwater and tied them to his belt. He hadn't eaten in quite a while, figured he'd make a stew later. He was walking around and happened to glance behind a boulder. There was a little motion that caught his eye, and he walked back there, and there was a twig going about 2 inches this way, 2 inches that way, 2 inches this way, 2 inches that way. That was all that was left of that tree he had cut down. It had dug that entire canyon and wore itself down to a nub. Well, said Jim, I always needed a good pine toothpick. And he picked it up and took it with him. A few years later, my great-great-grandfather was riding with Bridger, and they were doing some scouting for the U.S. Army. And they happened to be camped having a hump of buffalo meat cooked over a fire, and my relative got a piece of that stuck in his tooth and had to borrow that toothpick from Jim. Somehow he never did give it back, and we've passed it down in our family. At least I thought we did. Yeah, there it is. That's the very tooth. Tall tale tellers always have to have proof, you know.
I will sing you a song, it'll be a sad one. Trials and troubles and how they begun. We left our dear kindred, our friends and our home, across the wide beach creeks and mountains to roam. Well, we crossed the Missouri and joined a large train. Traveled through mountains, through valleys and plains, and often on evenings to hunting we'd go, to shoot the fleet antelope and the wild buffalo. Well, we heard of Sioux Indians all out on the plain, killing poor drivers and burning their trains, killing poor drivers with arrows and bows. When captured by Indians, no mercy they'd show. Well, we traveled 3 weeks and we come to the Platte, pitching our camp up in the head of the flat. We pitched all our blankets on the green shady ground, and the mules and the horses was grazing around. While taking our refreshment, we heard a loud yell, and a hoop of Sioux Indians come up from the dell. We sprang to our rifles with a tear in each eye, saying, oh, my brave little boys, we'll fight till we die. And they made a bold dash, and they come near our train. The
Arrows fell round us like showers of rain. But with our good rifles, we fed them hot lead till many a brave warrior around us lay dead. All in our little band, there was just 24. Of the Sioux Indians, 500 or more. We fought them with courage, we said not a word. The hoop of Sioux Indians was all that we heard. And we shot their bold chief at the head of their band. He died like a warrior with a bow in his hand. When they saw the great chief lay dead in his gore, they hooped and they hollered and we saw them no more. We hitched up the horses and started the train. Three more bloody battles did drip on the plain. And in the last battle, 12 brave boys fell, and we left them to rest in the green shady dell. Thank you very much.
Sioux Indians, art theme, and before that, the story of Jim Bridger. And that's where it's at, all kinds of folk songs, all kinds of folk songs that are sort of products of their time. And this one, according to the notes, says, shows a modicum of respect. Came from a 12-inch old record from the Library of Congress. Folk songs in North America, one of those kinds of things. And Art Theme knew so many, many, many songs. And we still will be playing those songs all the way up into May to sort of give him the tribute due as the real deal, as a folk singer, Mr. Art Theme. Well, we're about halfway through the show. What do you think about that? We have lots more stuff. We have a new Battlefield Band album that came out. It's a series of sort of duets. It looks like the Battlefield Band is a trio. Young Ewan Henderson hit the road, and so now there's just three of them. We'll talk about that. Ewan Henderson was pretty good. I hope he's doing his thing. And we have lots more music after that. Ali Bain and Gail Moeller, and yeah, looks pretty good. Coming up, Inland Folks, a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University. I'm your host, Dan Marr. Lots more to go. Hang on, because we're coming back. Hang on.
Northwest Public Radio really appreciates its partnerships with companies such as Fisher Systems and Whitman Hospital. They share our commitment to a world of ideas through their program sponsorships. You too can become a program sponsor. You'll find details at nwpr.org under support and business support.
Sunny skies today with highs on the Palouse around 37. For the Lewis Clark Valley, 43. Then mostly clear overnight with lows in the mid to upper 20s. Sunny again for Sunday and a bit warmer as well with highs in the mid to upper 40s. Then partly cloudy for Monday with rain and snow for Monday night and into Tuesday.
That's the Battlefield Band. Battlefield Band from their latest album on Temple Records. There's three of them. But they got a bunch of guests on here, so I don't know what happened to Ewan Henderson, who was a piper and fiddle and whistle player extraordinaire. And right now the Battlefield Band is a trio. They haven't been a trio for many, 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 many years. But they're still pretty good. Before that, Ali Bain and Ale Moeller. This is where the Celtic meets the Nordic. This is good music from the Shetlands, Shetland Isles. And I kind of love this album. I've had it called Full Rigged. I've had it for quite a few years. Going to play another track from it right now. Track three, actually, is what we're going to play. And it sounds like this. Thank you.
theme. It's of a beautiful fair one. Was he sunned in her prime? Her cheeks, they were a rosy red, admired by all around, and they called her Bloomin' Caroline from Edinburgh town. Now Henry, he been a Highland lad, a-courting her he came. When her parents came to know, they were angry at the same. Young Henry being offended, he unto her did say, "Rise up, my bloomin' Caroline, for we must go away. And we will go to London town, to London with great speed. And when that we're in London, we'll live happy there indeed." She gathered up her costly clothes, the stars came tripping down, and away went bloomin' Caroline from Edinburgh town. But scarce a half a year, when cruel-hearted Henry on her did prove severe. Your friends and your parents, well, they oft-times on me frown. Make no delay, but beg your way back to Edinburgh town. This maiden grief with no relief into the woods has gone, to eat what fruit as she will find all on the bushes grown. And some take pity on her, while others on her frown. And some do say, "What made you stray from Edinburgh town?" She leaned her back against the oak, and she began to cry. To watch the small boats and the ships on the sea as they passed by. Every sigh she gave for Henry, "Why did you on me frown? Don't you mind the day we stole away from Edinburgh?" Likewise a note she left upon the shore. And in this note these lines were wrote: "Alas, I am no more. I'm fast asleep all in the deep, the small fish wavering round. I was once the bloomin' Caroline from Edinburgh town." So come all ye tender parents, and never hinder love. For if ye do, hard fortune will surely on ye prove. For if ye do, hard fortune will surely on ye frown. For it broke the heart of Caroline from Edinburgh town. I was once the bloomin' Caroline from Edinburgh town.
Says she give us Alan a room. Dear Kitty, says I, that's so charmingly free. Now if you would deign my sweet voice to the measure, 'twill make all the echoes run giddy with pleasure, for none in fair Erin can sing it like thee. I plied with me heart beating gaily. I piped up the strain, why so sweetly she sung. The soft melting melody filled all the valley. The green woods around us in harmony rung. Methought that she verily charmed up the moon. And now as I wander in village or city, when good people call for some favorite ditty, I cheer my old heart with sweet Eleanor Doon. I wrote with my Mary, my listening to echoes that rung to the tune. I met Kitty Moore with her tulips so cherry, right feeling should she give us Alan a room. Dear Kitty, says I, that's so charmingly free. Now if you would deign the sweet voice to the measure, 'twill make all the echoes run giddy with pleasure, for none in fair Erin can sing it like thee.
The Battlefield Band, so many, 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 many albums of the Battlefield Band are out there. Oh my gosh. There isn't an original Battlefield Bander left either. A little different than the Kingston Trio, because the Battlefield Band doesn't generally go out and do hits from 30, 40 years ago. They keep doing new stuff. Lots of guests on this album, Christine Primrose and Noella Kennedy and John Martin and John Aaron or Aaron Jones and oh my gosh, all kinds of Mike Wellen is on here. These are mainly Temple Record recording artists. Temple Records is the label that keeps hanging on and working with the Battlefield Band. They're a trio, and there is a little bit of emptiness. They're pretty good musicians and they can maintain, but they need that kind of full round sound. They need something else. They need something more, maybe more bass, maybe more something. And, you know, they've worked as trios before over the years, back way back when Brian McNeil and Alan Reed and those guys, when they first started, they were a trio. And sometimes they've had four people, sometimes five or six, the Battlefield Band, and they just keep cooking. When you think of all the people that were members of the Battlefield Band and have worked with them over the years, oh my gosh. The late Davey Steele and John McCusker and Brian McNeil and Alan Reed and Pat Kilbride a couple of times. Jamie McMinimy, the great Breton guitar player and Scottish singer. Oh my goodness. Well, Amanda P. Cully doing the playlists. And she is cool. And she's helping me out here on some difficult stuff. Thanks, Amanda. Email me at D as in Daniel, MAHERWSU.edu. Or call me at 509-332-5047. Inland Folk is a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University. We're coming back for an hour more of stuff. So hang on, because we are coming back. Hang on now.